from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The Score!
Let's go now! You fired the first shot! Let's go, man!
Jason Leisure.
I'm here in the studio at The Score. This is a very, very special honor for you.
There's reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
H-I-T-S, they all stand for try hard. So for the coaches, it's now H is for, hey, don't do that. I is for, I wouldn't do that if I were you. T is for, that's a bad thing to do. And S is for, stop, you're fired.
I don't know if I really look at it that way, Jay.
Jason Leisure with Bernstein and Holmes on The Score.
Jason Leisure is brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with contractors from finishingchicago.com. He is with us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino, circalasvegas.com, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. And indeed, we are talking not about a finish, but about a start to the Bears season and where we stand right now. And our guest recently had an exclusive sit down with Caleb Williams, did you not?
I did, and thanks for having me, by the way, Dan and Lawrence. Good to see you guys.
Same.
As always.
See, I have rocking the Marlins cap today.
Yeah, I like it. I'm not a Marlins fan, but I think, you know, it's a good look for me. I like the black hat with the kind of the neon logo almost.
Yeah,
lighting.
I've enjoyed their new logo, that they're the things there. I will say, though, the Mike McDaniel has really looks like Miami has affected him. Like the pictures of him 3 years ago versus now, that man has been up some nights on South Beach, and God bless him for it.
He's thriving, Lawrence. He's thriving.
Yeah, he's definitely thriving. You were saying, though.
Well, I've liked every quarterback I've covered here in the last 6 years. I'm trying to think if there's one that I didn't really like dealing with, and I don't think there is one. I mean, Mitch was good to deal with. Justin was good to deal with, and then the parade of whoever's that have come through, Andy Dalton and Nick Foles, they have all been pleasant to deal with. But Caleb Williams, his personality just puts him in a different class. Everything about him is so bright, and he just seems to engage so well in conversation, and that's a lot of what our interview was about and what I wrote about, was that, yes, he is a generational talent in the Bears' opinion, but his ability to connect with people has been so evident over the last 4 months, both in the building and with the fan base at large. There's a reason why this fan base loves him before he has ever taken a snap. And it's not just his talent. It starts with him on draft night doing that bear claw, and then him ending every press conference, including yesterday, with his little da bears into the mic. It's a way of him, and he said he didn't initially plan it this way. He didn't put this kind of thought into it at the time, but he thought about it later, and it is kind of his way of communicating to everyone, I'm here, I'm one of you. And he likens it a lot to what he enjoys, what he enjoyed so much about the community of college football. With, I see you doing horns down. Like, that's a school he left, and he still threw in a horns down about an opposing player yesterday in his press conference leading up to week one. He loves the fight on. He loves the horns down, you know, Lawrence, roll tide and things like that.
Roll tide.
And I think he wants to embrace that as a way to make a gigantic fan base feel a lot smaller.
I think it's really important also to note that it's not politicking. And there are politicians who need to have that skill who never develop it. That the authenticity of connection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he has. He has a way of being authentic in all of this stuff. And that's really cool. That's not something you can teach. And I don't know if that comes through in interviews or if coaches, does anybody think, well, it's a phony this? I don't know. Because it sure seems authentic to me.
No, Ryan Poles mentioned this publicly, I think, last week, where he said, we've been around guys that are faking it. You've been around guys that are not his example, but maybe mine would be a Russell Wilson type. And it's very awkward. It doesn't come across natural. It's not endearing. It doesn't connect. And Caleb Williams has just seemed very organic with him. And when you say it can't be taught, and I think you're right about that, Dan. I mean, there's people in my family that are so natural in their people skills. My grandfather makes friends in the aisle at Target. He makes friends everywhere he goes. I'm not like that. I'm not that outgoing by nature, I don't think. Caleb Williams learned it from tagging along his dad. And then I think it was probably refined through the fame that he had in Los Angeles as a college football player. But this is a kid who, from a very young age, his siblings are all much older than him, 10 years older than him or more. So he was raised somewhat as an only child, you could say. And he tags along with his dad to business meetings, and rides along with him in the car. And he said, there's never been a time in the car with my dad where he didn't have a work call. His dad's a very successful commercial real estate developer and entrepreneur in Washington, D.C. So he sat in the back of meetings, you know, playing around on his dad's phone, but listening to and paying attention constantly to how his dad dealt with people. And his dad's people skills clearly informed how he treats people.
I thought it was interesting, and while I was reading the piece, you should check out Jason's piece, suntimes.com, inside the tab for Jason Leisure. You can check it out. I kept thinking about the amount of trust that Caleb had to earn from his parents. And it's like the idea of, yeah, we're going to let you kind of live on your own as a 17 or 16-year-old to let you go live on your own for high school. I'm fascinated by... one, the proof that he was driven to be a quarterback from that young of an age, from age 11, to then going out and proving it to his parents to the point where they felt good enough of like, look, I know that we're an hour away, but an hour away for a parent is a lot of time. And for them to give him that level of freedom means that he must have really convinced them that he was trustworthy.
Yeah, and if you're listening and you don't know the backstory to that, they lived in suburban Washington, D.C., but wanted him and he wanted to be at this private school in Washington, D.C., and while they only lived maybe 40 minutes away with no traffic, there is always traffic on weekday mornings and afternoons in that area. So they got him an apartment to live near school, and he did live by himself quite a bit in high school. And it, Lawrence, to me, it speaks to a lot of things, but the thing I want to highlight right now is just it speaks to how much this was his dream. This was what he wanted. And he said that repeatedly in our conversation, because you look at this, and the first time I ever heard him lay out his childhood and his path toward becoming an elite football player was on the pivot leading up to the draft. And man, the first thing that came to mind is it sounded a lot like Tiger Woods. It sounded a lot like Tiger Woods' upbringing, and maybe not that pleasant, and maybe not getting the chance to be a kid. And I think there has been a little bit of that. You don't get to be a kid like everyone else when you're on a athlete's diet and you're getting up at 4 a.m. to go work out when you're 10 or 13 or whatever. But he said repeatedly in our conversation, my parents were helping me become what I wanted to become. I told them I wanted this. They helped me chart the course for it. And one of the things he said, if you go back to that interview on The Pivot, which was really good, before he was drafted. It's very shortly before he was drafted. They asked him, I think it was Channing Crowder asked him, like, well, how much trouble were you getting in high school? And, you know, you must have just been able to do anything you wanted, basically, and been Mr. Popular and everything. And he said, I could have, because I would lived on my own. Like, my parents weren't there supervising everything that I was doing, but this was my dream. I wasn't about to throw this away being an idiot. I wasn't about to let my teammates throw it away being idiots. So everything he describes about his childhood, I find a couple of interesting things about it. One being that he is consistent about this path, as unnatural and difficult as it is for a kid, was something that he wanted. And it's fascinating to me that he did not turn out to be just a football robot, given this upbringing, that he has so many, he has such a varied and eccentric array of interests beyond football.
So look, I wanted to stop right here because I have the luxury of two guys that are parents. Dan, you just sent one away to college. Jason.
One came back from college.
Right. And then he's back living away at college.
Well, she's back.
Yeah, but your son is also away at college. So, and with Jason, can either one of you, as dads,
I was thinking it as he was saying it.
Imagine.
No.
And like.
Not at that age.
And the moment. Jason, with your oldest, could you imagine her being like, Dad, I really want to do blank. And the only way I could do it is blank. Could you imagine like setting it up between now and when you felt comfortable of saying, okay, go ahead. You're going to move to downtown Chicago. And yeah, we'll be an hour away, but this is what your dream is.
I think if I went over that regiment with my 13-year-old daughter, Grace, I think I would mention right off the top that Caleb Williams was getting up at 4 a.m. every day and how much earlier that is compared to 10 a.m. And I think she'd be out.
It was hard.
It's interesting, though, because
it was hard enough for us to
you raised such a great great point, Lawrence, of both of my daughters are really, really gifted and talented, but how hard do you want to push them? And how much of their childhood, because they don't know what they're deciding when they give that up. They don't, you could tell them, but they don't know what it's going to be like to be 30, 40, 50 and look back and be like, oh, well, that I didn't really get what I would have loved to have gotten out of that. And there's no going back.
And to be fair, for both of you, you both have brilliant children. Like,
I don't. I've got smart children.
Okay.
Mine are. I'm not going to downplay how smart
my
kids are.
You really keep your kids down, man. They are under your thumb.
No, they're smart.
No, my kids are incredible.
They're not brilliant.
Okay.
They're smart kids.
I have been very impressed with your children in interactions with them.
Yeah, they're
mine are Dan's.
They're doing fine.
I think that your children are very special kids.
Brilliant's
honestly
a pretty high bar.
Okay. So just like Cody Bellinger, I like Dan's kids better than he does.
I didn't say how much I like them. I'm just trying to be objective here. I know.
I'm happily on record as my kids are brilliant. I'm not going to water that down.
Don't water it down because your children are brilliant.
Now, I'll be clear. It's because my wife. My wife is one of those types of people that you meet that you think that person could just do anything, could do anything. And I, on the other hand, write about football practice for a living.
Yeah, but you could if, you know, there's a Jason Leisure variant somewhere that's not doing that, that's doing something else.
But that idea of sending a kid to live at 16.
Could you do it?
Why are you kidding? Like, it even to the amount of time it took for us to let Dingleberry go to New Orleans by himself, even with that whole support system. I mean, it's...
How many times are we going to have to dump Dan today?
What? That was not dumpable. You have to dump Dingleberry?
You're getting close, though. I can tell.
I'm just saying.
That one was close, but we'll let it go.
What the big overarching takeaway from Caleb Williams talking about his upbringing and his path to this point is that we've made some version of this point with him so much over the last few months. You don't know what he's going to be. You don't know if he's going to be Patrick Mahomes or better, or if he's going to be much, much less than what all these expectations. You don't know what his career is going to be. But I would say that it is hard to think of a way that this person could have been more prepared for what they're getting into on and off the field than Caleb Williams is. I mean, I don't know how what box he has left unchecked to be this prodigy quarterback.
Okay, so then let me ask you this question, though, just from a football, old football, football perspective, teammates and the nature of a locker room. Is there any sense of, oh, here's the anointed one. Oh, here comes Mr. Perfect again. Here's the guy who does
everything. Mr. Perfect was the man.
Here's the guy who does everything right. Oh, here we go. This is here's the guy walking on water. Here's our starting quarterback who's only 21 years old, whatever it is. Do you get any sense of any level of grumbling or resentment or, you know, wait till this kid gets a load of this league, you know?
Zero. And I think it goes to what we're talking about his people skills, about his ability to connect with these teammates, some of whom are much, much older. And I mean, Mercedes Lewis is my age, but you have a lot of guys that are in their sixth or seventh year on that offense. And I think that they love his talent. I would say that, you know, it's someone who makes your job easier as a wide receiver or tight end instead of making your job harder. You would embrace that. And the way that I have heard guys talk about him, Dan, on and off the record, they sound like you sound talking with your friends about him, about something you saw in a preseason game or something you saw in a practice. They are laughing at it, at how ridiculous some of the throws and some of the pocket presence that he's shown in practice and in preseason games has been. They are as giddy about this as the rest of the city is.
What's interesting to you about Sunday?
Well, what's interesting to me is that after all of what we just said about Caleb Williams, I expect it to be pretty rocky in his debut. I mean, it's his first game. And one of the things he said yesterday was, essentially, I'm paraphrasing what he said, guys are going to try to trick you and they're going to know how to trick you because they've been in the league and you haven't. And I mean, the problem with the Bears last year is we saw this happening to Justin Fields in year three. If you think back to Quay Walker in week one, kind of faking him on a coverage and then intercepting it for a pick six, and Shaq Barrett showing a blitz, but then dropping back and intercepting him for a pick six. He knows people are going to trick him, Caleb does, but he doesn't know how it's going to be, like how they're going to, he can't anticipate that. I don't think that's something you can gain just from DJ Moore telling you something that he's seen. And if he is kind of some good, some bad on Sunday, is there enough around him for the Bears to still win, especially against a bad team? But I think that there might be quite a bit of that, especially in the first half of the season, where you're going to get a mixed bag from Caleb Williams. Can you win anyway? And not just, you know, well, can you squeak by 14 to 10 over somebody, but can your offense still score even if he's not quite Mr. Perfect yet?
Do you think that, like Matt Bowen told us, Matt Bowen sort of raised some flags about how good he thinks this Titans defense is and how much he believes in the coordinator and in their ability to disguise some things. Do you think we're sort of underplaying the matchup at all?
No, I mean, they were 6-11 last year and they were pretty bad in pass defense specifically. I think this is a good test for the Bears though, because somewhat to your point, Dan, the Titans are not a total disaster. This isn't like facing the Panthers of last year or something like that. This is a really good kind of middle of the road type test for Caleb. I would like this a lot better for him than starting with the
Houston
week two matchup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the road, primetime Houston. That'd be more fun though. That'd be a lot more exciting. I would have picked, if I was making the schedule in New York, I would have picked a much more interesting week one game that we could have put in primetime. And if nothing else, I would have picked them. I would have picked their game against Washington, put the top two rookie quarterbacks against each other on Monday Night Football or something like that. But I think that this schedule at large is very, very favorable to the Bears' situation with a rookie quarterback, because there are a bunch of these teams like the Titans that were worse than the Bears were last season and fired their coach and don't have Derrick Henry. And those are teams that the Bears could ideally beat before Caleb Williams finds his footing. And then you have all the really important NFC North games and Seattle and San Francisco in the second half when theoretically he'd be hitting his stride.
Jason Leisure, looking forward to another terrific season. Happy football.
Thank you. See you guys.
See ya. That is Jason Leisure. Next up, let's get to yet another facet of Caleb Williams' personality that seems to be a little bit different and precociously evolved.
Yeah, I like this because I knew some of it, but I was glad to hear him talk in more detail about it. And it plays into the matchup for Sunday with something that someone on the Titans has said about the quarterback of the Bears. We'll explain next here on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
I feel like that against anybody we play against. We were joking, of course, on that podcast. It was about the painted nails, but I don't care who I'm playing. It could be my best friend. You know, when we step on the field, you're my enemy. I'm gonna welcome KB back to playing Tennessee Titans. The same thing. Like I have that mindset to win, no matter who it is. But that was a joking podcast for sure, but I mean it. Like my goal is to win, especially if I could get some one-on-ones in that game. You know, my goal is to help my team get a win this game.
Pick a lane, Jeffrey Simmons.
Stand on business.
Come on.
You said what you said.
Hey, right.
Stand on business.
It's a joking podcast, but I mean it. No.
By the way, he wasn't on the Jokey McJokerson podcast when he said it. He wasn't on there with Gary Goldman, like talking
or
craft.
Mark Maron, or yeah,
you know,
right?
like a joking podcast. Like
no,
you were on a football podcast.
Words are words, and
you
said it for a reason.
You said that what you want, you're going to taunt Caleb Williams because he paints his nails, and that you can't wait to sack him and then call him painted nails, and all that stuff. Stand on business, or go, you know what? That was wrong. I was wrong about that. I'm going to get after him because I'm a competitor just the way that he is. But that was probably a low blow.
Well, the follow-up would be, why are painted nails wrong or bad? And make him say why. Why would you focus on that? And why would you want to knock the paint off his nails? What does that have to do with anything?
Yep.
And I would want him to describe that. And if he's saying it's effeminate, why is that bad?
Right. It's funny, like inside of, for once, you know, the folks inside of the Twitch stream are better than the texters today.
Roll, really? The Twitchers win today?
We're actually having like a conversation about like what's the right idea to do when it comes to rearing children. Is it praise? Is it, you know, how much do you hold back on the praise and all of these things? And one of the conclusions that we've had inside of here is how more advanced young people are. I mean, I haven't had the next group of the Gen Alpha kids yet, but I'm very partial to the Gen Z kids. And I think that there's like a really clear connection if you're a Gen Xer, because we're their parents for the most part. I'm not a parent, but my generation are their parents. So you can kind of make a connection with them. And their emotional intelligence is so far, like beyond, like the idea of them not seeing therapy, like as a group. Obviously, they're outliers because Simmons is a Gen Z kid. But their ability to understand that being in therapy is a strength, the way that they can rally around each other and look at some of the differences. And again, we're talking in generalities here. I get that. But they're so, like, the students that I have encountered over the last few years, I just go, wow, like you're way, like you're still ahead. Like I'm almost 50 and you're still ahead of where I am emotionally.
I think a lot of it is true about how quickly they're raised and the effect of how sped up everything is. And I also think that the collegiate experience is so important for kids to get out of their comfort zone, for kids to see people and be with people and become friendly with people who aren't from their hometown, who aren't from their high school, who had a completely different background. And this is what really pisses me off when I hear about the college education being demonized and you hear about people talking about, well, they're being indoctrinated with all of these principles of diversity. No, they're not being indoctrinated. What they're doing is they're getting out of your podunk town and they're realizing you're an a-hole. That's what's happening. They're actually going to a place that's different and they're meeting different people and they're realizing, oh, I don't have to fear people who look different and who sound different or who come from another country. And now we talk about it. People here at this school come from all over. And I hope people have the opportunity to travel and to have these collegiate experiences, to do these things where they're not being indoctrinated with ideas. They're learning about the real world. And then they get home and they realize that there's something wrong with the way they've been raised. And there's something wrong with the way their parents have seen the world from a frightened, xenophobic, racist way.
Well, I do think that there are still some steps that they need to take. In my experience with them, specifically the Gen Z kids that I've worked with, who I adore, is that the interpersonal is still, that's still a step that they need to take, because a lot of their communication has been through their phone or through gaming or through, like they're still, when they're face to face with you, there's still a little bit of hesitancy until they get really comfortable. Then when they get really comfortable, it's so fun and so hysterical. But I think that they're light years ahead. And I think that Caleb, I don't want to put too much pressure on him to be this, but it does seem like he's very authentic in caring about things like this. He seems to have a better understanding of himself than most at 22. And I do think that that has to do with the background. Now we're going to see what happens. Like if things get tough for him, how does he respond to it? What are the things that he leans on? But I think that he at least already has a process for that. And think about how long it took you for that process. But to speak specifically to it, this is the Maria Taylor interview with Caleb Williams, I think is worth your time to watch the whole, I think it's what, 13, 14 minutes of that. It's really good. But let's say that you're a Neanderthal and you were like, yeah, I don't really understand that whole nail painting thing that was going on with Caleb either, but I like Caleb and I feel like he's our guy and I need to back him. Let me give you something other than empathy on why you should be backing Caleb Williams in that regard.
And I want to say this starts with him responding to Maria Taylor, prompting him to talk about his mom.
She's wonderful. She's and everybody probably already knows, but she's the one that kind of got me into the nails thing. Mm-hmm. Growing up, she was always caring. She was always taking care of everybody. She owned a daycare, so she treated everybody and everybody else's child like they were her own. And I think that's gone a long way for me. Mm-hmm. You know, so when I'm on a football team and things like that. Or when I have friends and things like that I truly care for, I take care of them. You know, I ask them questions about their family. I ask them questions about, you know, themselves. We go out to dinner. We go out mini golf. We go out all these other things, and we hang out. We build, you know, true bonds and relationships that just grow over time. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that comes from her.
Okay, you brought the nail thing. I just have pictures. This is our last thing we're gonna run through. You tell me what our style was here.
Yeah, so I
do you remember the game?
This was, I've had so many daggone.
Well, you could just tell me what, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so this is a biohazard.
Yep, biohazard.
Sometimes I was just going kind of random because uh-huh. I look kind of cool. Biohazard, American flag, flames, mm-hmm. and then this one was on purpose.
Okay.
I put the, like if you're throwing darts or if you're
a target.
Yeah, a target. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was more of like, put the cross in the middle too, mm-hmm. for that. So it was more of on my index finger, because that's you know, when you throw, it's the finger that's the last finger to touch the ball. And so that was a
God,
that was more
the
of
detail.
A that was more of a yeah. This is mental health mm-hmm. awareness, okay. And breast cancer awareness, mm-hmm. 988, and then breast cancer awareness on my pinky.
Yeah,
and I don't remember what I had on my thumb, but yeah, the 988.
Mm-hmm. So we already know.
I didn't do this one yet, but it mm-hmm. is. Yeah, this will probably be on there at some point. Okay. Bear down.
We know. Have you week two, so we really okay. that's the one that we want to know. But if you okay. don't already know what's in your mind, what you're gonna do,
got
that's
it.
All right.
Yeah, so this was just a matte black mm-hmm. thing, and then I just threw a bunch of, you know, this. I normally don't do stickers, but these are all stickers. Mm-hmm. Smiley face, flame, white heart, and an eye.
And because, and a part of it too, I do love the fact that you talk about mental awareness or mental health awareness, yep. and also just anti-bullying, and yep. that's a part of the cause,
yes.
with the nails too.
Yep.
And I don't know that everyone understands that.
Yeah, it's a part of the cause, because obviously people try and say things about it,
yeah.
And you know, say things about me because of it, and so it is something that meshes well with the outreach that I'm trying to reach, mm-hmm. and outreach that I'm trying to, you know, get out to other people about mental health and bullying, mm-hmm. and let them know that I'm one with them. Mm-hmm. I'm here. You can connect with me because of the, you know, things that are said about me and us football players, to be honest, mm-hmm. Over time.
That's great. I don't know if Caleb Williams is good at professional football. I do know that he is good at jiu-jitsu, because
using other people's mm-hmm. moves against them. Yep.
Bring it on. Yeah. Yeah. You don't like the nails thing? Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm doing it for people who can identify with being bullied, and I'm doing it because it's a connection with my mom, but go right ahead.
And I
go
like it
right ahead.
I don't need any more reason than I like it. I don't have to justify it to anyone.
That's right. But he's using the opportunity uh-huh. to make it better. Like, it's such a jiu-jitsu move.
To build it forward, yes.
Yeah.
To not say, like, I don't care about... It's not like a goth kind of thing where it's like, I don't care about you. We do these things because it's our subculture. He's like, no, here's a very specifically positive reason why it makes me feel good.
Yep.
And it's because it may be a symbol to others.
And being willing to be in that, because I swear, and I mean, I want to keep like comparing the two guys. I think Justin was like so close to some of those breakthroughs, and everyone goes on their own journey. I think that he wanted to be that, but kind of felt like he couldn't because, you know, he hadn't done enough or hadn't accomplished enough. To see Caleb kind of walk in and be like, yeah, I'm good with being the avatar for anti-bullying and mental health awareness. I'm real good on that. I'm ready to do that right now. It shows an incredible amount of really good introspection and understanding that you can, in that position, even though it's not required, only thing that, Bears fans really require from Caleb Williams is for him to be a good quarterback. But for him to step into the space and say, I can also be this for other people. And if that's how you rock with me, that's how you rock with me. I think it's a very impressive way to go about doing things.
You want to see a quote? I'm sure we'll hear this later when Chris Emma sends in this sound.
Okay.
If you thought you were ready for football after the Matt Bowen segment.
Oh, let's go.
This is Chris Emma quoting Montez Sweat.
Oh, let's go.
Quote, we're big boys and we're hungry. We just like to eat. We like to hunt. We like to get out there. I'm excited to get my hands on the quarterback.
Well, he was trying to get his hands on Caleb Williams on camp.
Speaking of eating.
Yeah.
Next segment.
We're eating?
I'm going to try the Studs ghost pepper salsa.
Oh, dear God.
What? I'm not going to drink the whole container. I'm just going to try it.
Are you going to make it through transition?
I have Pepto-Bismol for you.
That's not what Dan needs. No, he has a whole routine that he would do.
Yeah.
That's why he would disappear in Vegas, right? Like he'd go get, what would you go get?
Oh, that was because of the
milkshake.
That was because the Captain Crunch Crunchberry milkshake. I had to go get lactase, the enzyme that consumes lactose, because I had three total.
But shouldn't we have like some sort of milk or ice cream here for you for this?
Nah.
Okay. Stick around, y'all, especially on Twitch. Next on The Score.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. In Odyssey.
670 The Score and Circa Sports Illinois are up to celebrate the start of football season next Thursday, September 12th. That's a week from today. From 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., our show and afternoon show will be live from the Lake Street Plaza at Prudential. Food trucks, games, and more throughout the day. Circa Sports Illinois will have merch for customers to download the app and deposit. That's next Thursday, September 12th from 10 to 6 with The Score and Circa Sports Illinois.
That man right there is Adam Studzinski, a.k.a. Studs. He moved over here from the production studio because he's like, this would just be easier. So you've got chips and homemade salsa with the ghost pepper.
Yeah, so shout out to Ray who ran downstairs and got these chips.
Okay.
And so they're blue corn chips.
Solid choice.
So, yeah, there we go.
Salted or
no? Are you sure you guys don't want any Pepto-Bismol, man? Because I got it.
It says they got sea salt on them, it looks like. Okay. All right, and so all right, now here's the salsa, and I was just telling the guys during the break that I haven't tried this since it sat overnight.
So wait, Dan, I just wanted to let the people in on the conversation we were having off air. You think that because I feel like with it sitting overnight that the spice congeals and it's going to be a little spicier maybe than what it was yesterday. You think it's the opposite?
With time, spice usually mellows. Like if you leave hot sauce in your fridge, 2 weeks later, it's not as hot as it was when you bought it.
That's my experience, too.
But 12 hours later?
It's been, how long has it been? Not quite 12 hours. No, it's been,
So this is fresh grown tomatoes.
Yeah, everything here.
And the seeds and the pepper are in there.
Yeah. I put, so there's one ghost pepper in there. All the seeds from all the peppers are in there. There's a banana pepper in there. There's some red pepper. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, by the way, did you guys know that like Joe Bartosz has got like a growing field of tomatoes? So if you're looking for fresh tomatoes and you can't find them.
And also he has killing fields of human skulls.
Yes, that is also true. Right, so Dan is trying this. Right. So for those
here you go.
Cheers.
We have to describe it. He's taking about two chips.
It was two chips. He didn't get a whole lot of the stuff on
chips.
There.
Two chips.
Mainly juice.
Yeah, I saw it kick in there a little bit, huh?
Yeah.
It is definitely bright on the front.
Yeah. Oh, there's onion in there, too.
Onion. One it has, onion.
It's excellent.
Oh, nice.
It is excellent.
Nailed it.
It's hot.
But it's not overwhelming,
no.
Right?
No.
Yeah.
No, it reminds me of like a Nayarit-style habanero salsa. That would be spectacular with fish.
Hell yeah.
With...
I put it on a salad last night, just a little bit of it. It's pretty solid.
No, that's really good. It is not overwhelmingly spicy, but it is hot. It's good. I would say if you did a baked tilapia in that, just a simple baked tilapia in that salsa.
Ooh,
and it made some nice tacos out of the soft fish, or you could do a fried snapper and do like a huachinango with green olives and that and some like a basic adobo spice. That's really good.
There's adobo in it, actually. I use that. I use
more. You're going back for more.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. I seasoned it with the only thing not local is adobo seasoning and black pepper.
Black pepper, fam-a-lamb. Oh, black pepper, fam-a-lamb.
What else did I put in there? Oh, so this stuff like IPA, or this organic like IPA seasoning, I put some of that in there. Yeah, so it's got a little kick. And, all right, well, cool. So
that's just right. That is just right. That's really good.
All right, now the next round is going to be my...
You're going to go a little harder?
My fiance's brother, so my future brother-in-law, right? He, in his backyard, has Carolina Reaper peppers.
All right.
The next round is going to be with one of those in it, I think.
Put it on your shoes.
Oh, and I will say, like, what probably helped with the ghost pepper in here is that ghost pepper has been in my fridge for at least a week, maybe two.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. That'll definitely take it. Yeah,
you took a little heat off of it.
Yeah. I didn't use one of the fresh ones, so that one's been chilling,
whatever you use for this
is
just right for me. Just right.
Sick.
I mean, I wouldn't be able to like drink that whole thing.
I wouldn't recommend drinking it.
You'll probably
feel it later.
Yeah, it's hot. It's hot, but it's not stupid hot. That's good.
Yeah, thank you.
Before Chicago takes on Tennessee, tune in Sunday morning 9 to noon. Your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Busey Bank and Aurelio's. Join Mully, Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley. They get you set for the game. Then immediately after the game, Mullen, yes, that would be a get. Mully, Olin, and Manley will have instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Wonderverse. That will stream exclusively this week on the Score's YouTube and Twitch channels due to the Cubs game. Good. Okay, so transition next with afternoon happy time.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.